Thank you for tuning in to Finish the Fight, a gaming podcast. If you have not, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/finishthefight, where we have some amazing merch and plenty of other things for you guys.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Back to Finish the Fight, a gaming podcast. Today, we're answering the age-old question that everyone's asked forever. Where do you guys see these Nintendo franchises? What's the best of the best, the worst of the worst? Which ones, especially one of them, have you never played but you've seen on the GameStop shelf forever?
Yeah, that's a lot of games for me, Alex. I love Nintendo franchises. I feel like that's really what has always kept Nintendo relevant, because they've just been lagging behind in the technology, or they've done something wonky like, you know what? We're going to get rid of normal controllers and you're going to have a wand and you're going to run around and play video games that way.
And you're going to like it.
You know, they've always... Yeah, they've always sort of been pushing the envelope in what is, you know, traditional video game styles into like, hey, maybe you just want to like pretend to bowl in your living room, something like that. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But at the end of the day, all these Nintendo franchises stand the test of time. They're always great putting out games when they do put them out. They're always fun. Except for Star Fox, and maybe some of these other ones we're going to talk about. But other than those, they're always fun.
Yeah, so we're going to start at the top. We're going to go in alphabetical order. These are officially recognized as franchise for Nintendo, and we're going to start with one that's getting a re-release soon. It might have already been out. I think it's already out. It is Advance Wars. Now, Advance Wars takes on that Fire Emblem-esque turn-based mechanic, but takes it into soldiers and tanks and planes and that idea of it. Now, our scaling is going to be S tier, A, B, C, D, and then a flat did not play, because some of these are more Japanese oriented and may have only seen a couple releases in the United States. So that's where we are. Now, Advance Wars. Again, I'm seeing this as more of that clone-ish of Fire Emblem, taking that idea, but like in the Warfare Tactics. It's fun. It's a fun game. I would probably put it at C tier. I think it's a fine series. We haven't seen much of it, but it's an okay game.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't played this game. You're correct. It is. They're going to re-release this. I don't know when this episode will be out. Oh, wait, no. It's May. April 21st of last month.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Advance Wars 1 and 2 as a combo pack or something for the Switch.
Yeah, it's like a remake of two of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've not played these. I don't really feel like I can give a fair opinion on those. Yeah. I'm fine with going with a C. It looks interesting.
It's fun. This is our baseline. It's fun. Nothing for me that really stood out. It is a fun game.
Yeah, yeah. One of the few that I haven't really delved into in the Nintendo series. Now, this next one is one that I definitely have from the very beginning. And of course, that is Animal Crossing as a franchise. Mm-hmm. I didn't, I guess, technically play it from the very beginning because it came out on N64, like as a
Japanese
exclusive. Yeah. So I didn't play that, but when it came out on GameCube, I was all about it. Have played a ton of iterations, have not played the Switch one.
Gotta.
I feel like I kind of missed the boat on that because it was such a big pandemic game. This one for me, I don't know about you, I feel like as a franchise, it's a B tier, because it is a lot of the same. They've expanded on a lot of things, and I haven't played this last one, so maybe they made it a lot different, but for the most part, this is a game where Nintendo, as far as innovation goes, I feel like doesn't really have that same thing like it does in a lot of their other series.
I'd give it to you. I think if you played the latest one, it definitely is the GameCube hype of the OG, that feeling of playing it. I would definitely like teeter this between B and A, just because the mobile game, in my opinion, was not good. The DS ones were marginal at best, in my opinion. They still, they tried to like innovate on what didn't need to be innovated from the GameCube one in a bad way. And we lost the NES classics and never saw them again after the original GameCube version.
And that was so fun. That was like the best part of the GameCube one. I feel like the GameCube one was so great about being simple.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a million things to do. There wasn't like not enough.
It was a great one. And they were mean to you. I loved that.
They were very mean to you.
Now, next up, Call Me Unfair. I don't care. Call Me Unfair. We have ARMS.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that stands for? D tier. I'm not giving an F tier. It's a straight D tier. In my opinion, it was a gimmick game trying to like masquerade as a boxing game. It was fine. We're not going to see anything from the series again, I don't think. I mean, except for like seeing some stuff in like Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros. But like outside of that, I'm D-tiering it all the way.
I'm totally with you on D-tier. I own this game, but only because when I bought a Switch, there were like five games that were out for the Switch, and ARMS was one of them. So I got ARMS. I've played ARMS a few times, tried to play out all the different characters. It feels like they took Wii Sports Boxing and just made it a little bit more goofy and made their own characters for it. S-tier theme song, but...
Oh, yes. And again, I think we can say that a lot about a lot of Nintendo stuff, S-tier music.
Yeah.
Gameplay, though, hit or miss for each iteration, basically.
Yeah, I'm definitely down with the D-tier for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up next... is another one that I have not played. So have you played this one?
I have not either. So I think we throw it there. I think it's fair. I think in our system, I think it's fair. And I think people can disagree and you can let us know where you think these are.
Yes.
But I think we both have to put this into did not play.
Yeah, did not play tier. This is Bayonetta. I've seen some gameplay stuff. Seems like sort of a smash 'em up style, like Japanese style game.
I've probably
played similar games too, but
very Devil May Cry. I see in that kind of like combo thing of it, and people swear by it. They say it's a great game. That's great. I've never played it. Where would you guys put it?
And I've played Devil May Cry games, and those just aren't really like that style of game is just not really for me.
Yeah, that I can totally understand. Now, next up, this is a toughie for me. Because if we had stopped this at, like, let's even say N64 era, this might be close to an S-tier game franchise.
Okay.
But we had a bunch of hiccups and gimmicks along the way, and it became a gimmicky character. And, of course, talking about Donkey Kong as a series. You know, we see Jungle Beats.
Yeah.
We see a lot of, like, just... Donkey Kong became kind of, like, the testbed for Nintendo of, like, how do platformers kind of work with these things? What can we do? Those early on ones were fantastic. We kind of slipped. I'm still going to put it in B tier. I think it's still a great franchise that has innovation into it. That, again, the Super Nintendo ones are top tier music-wise, gameplay-wise, diversity-wise. It was so much of those games. And a lot of people came back to Tropical Freeze and felt that way. I never played Tropical Freeze because I was kind of out on the DK franchise. But they said that brought some roots in.
It's really like... the SNES games just updated, right?
Yes.
And so if your franchise is really stuck with just sort of rehashing the same thing over and over and over again, is it really like a good franchise? So I feel like, yeah, you had this really innovative like 3D adventure style game in Donkey Kong 64 that was a lot of fun and took the franchise in a whole new direction. And then we just didn't get that ever again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think B is very fair. Iconic character, has been part of Nintendo since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of, we've got Animal Crossing in that B tier as well. And it kind of, I think it makes sense to have those in the same category because, yeah, it is a lot of the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next up, we've got a Mario game, first Mario game that we're going to talk about, and that is Dr. Mario. He puts on the PhD jacket that I assume they give you whenever you graduate.
Yep, your PhD jacket, of course.
Yeah, yeah. This is, it's just a white coat. You just wear it everywhere. He put on that thing on the top of his head that no doctor has worn since 1847, and he gives you a little red pill, blue pill situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this game is another one that's, I mean, it was essentially like what, like a Tetris sort of copy?
In my opinion, a bad Tetris clone.
Yeah, like a little bejeweled Tetris clone. I have the NES one. Really simple, really not fun to play for more than a few minutes at a time. Now, they had a little like adventure Dr. Mario game that I think was an N64 game. And that was probably the most fun that it could be, but it was just like level by level. It was like Candy Crush.
Yes.
But yes, for N64, this has got to be a D tier.
Yeah.
For me.
I have to agree. You know, the last thing we've seen of Dr. Mario is the Dr. Mario in Super Smash Bros. Like that's kind of the last time.
Well, there's
really
a mobile game.
Oh, so the Bejeweled version. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, Dr. Mario. That's a capital D for you. Now, next up, I'm going to try and not be biased with it, but it's probably one of my favorite series from Nintendo that I have played pretty much on launch at each one, and that is the Fire Emblem series. Now, the Fire Emblem series really takes some strays because the stories they tell in them are pretty predictable and pretty run-of-the-mill. Hero may not know who they are, or they do. Got to fight a bad guy, usually a dragon. However, the small innovations that, for me, they've changed for each one, that have added to better gameplay elements, that have just made more memorable characters, that have flooded Super Smash Brothers, and that's basically why Fire Emblem exists at this point.
Yeah.
I teeter between an S and an A tier for it. I think the flaws in it keep it into A, just because of some of the repetition that comes about it. Like, even this last one is a very fun gameplay. They've added really cool elements to it, but the story, in my opinion, is terrible. It's just a boring story. But I personally would put it up into an A tier, where they have made advancements into it, and they haven't really remade themselves. And this last one, story's weak, but the innovation's cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, you pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. I feel the same way. I have not played these games as much as you have, but I have played them enough to feel like they stand alone, first of all, in Nintendo titles.
Yes.
Like, there's not other Nintendo titles like them. And I feel like they do a good job of creating unique RPG elements, and that's hard to do now because you have games like Final Fantasy that are really like the top echelon of what those games should be, what kind of style they should have. And Fire Emblem, I feel like I agree with you. I think the stories in the earlier ones were a lot cooler than the stories in these more recent ones. And that kind of knocks it down a little bit, but the gameplay is always fun. I'm good with an A tier on that. I think that it's just when I think about it compared to some of these other ones that I'm looking at that I'm going to put in the S tier, I feel like there's a few things that separate it that drop it down to an A.
Yeah, I think that too. I think some of the games do hit S tier, like Awakening, where you have like you're in the future, but in the past, and there's kids involved into it. Like, those are very fun, but there are some ones that drag it down that just unfortunately bring it to that A tier.
Next up, F-Zero. Now, Nintendo has done a few racing style games. Mm-hmm. Captain Falcon, his popularity, I feel like, really exists because of the Super Smash Brothers series. F-Zero has so much potential as a fun racing game, but they just really haven't executed it well. There were some great ones for the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
And GameCube, when I really look at the overarching Nintendo franchises, had some cool, like, out there games that also fit in more traditional video game style.
Yeah.
F-Zero had a traditional racing game, but then it also had one on GameCube that was kind of like a story action thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see more F-Zero in the future, but right now it's a C tier for me.
Agree.
Because there are other, like, Mario Kart is the premier racing game,
yes,
I feel like, for Nintendo. F-Zero sort of exists within that same space, and sure, it has its own unique characters and elements and things, and the futuristic racing vehicle thing is cool, but they haven't really done enough with this series for me to think about it any more than a C tier.
Same thing. I think most everyone, I would say probably 80% of people probably just know Captain Falcon from the Smash Bros. Series. They probably know F-Zero as a secondary of it. And
or as like one of those really frustrating levels that you play.
Yeah, and so it's definitely, I think, hitting there. Next up, we have a game that we've not seen in a long time. I really don't think since the Game Boy Advance, and I may be wrong, but I believe
the last one for this was Nintendo DS in 2010.
Oh, okay, so there was a DS one. Now, this is a handheld series. This is Golden Sun. For those of you who haven't played, this is very much that RPG-esque, kind of like on a Game Boy type game. You go into battles. It has a very unique element to it of having been that light and has cool stories. It's the stories you wish Nintendo told that's slightly grittier, a little more to it than kind of like a happy-go-lucky tale. How I struggle. I think I'm going to go ahead and put it below because we haven't seen a lot of it. It's a very niche title. It is fun. I enjoy it. I've played a lot of it on emulators again when I got into emulators years ago. It still holds up, but I'm going to put it into C tier with Golden Sun. I think it's a BC totter. I think if you are more into that style of game, it's a B tier. But if you are not so much, it's definitely just it's a fun game. I think C should be renamed like they're fun. There's not much to them, but they're fun with Advance Wars and F-Zero. I think it fits in that same mold.
Yeah. This is one that I've skipped the entire series for, so mm-hmm. I don't really have a great argument for it. I know it's an RPG, but if I'm thinking of RPG games for Nintendo, I want Fire Emblem, not Golden Sun. So
yeah.
I'm fine with C for that. Next up, Kid Icarus, mm-hmm. which has its roots in the NES.
Yep.
Sort of got revived through the Super Smash Brothers series, which they love to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then they released that DS game, which was actually surprisingly really fun. And I think one of the best uses of the gyroscope technology in the 3DS originally. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you played that, but it really is a lot of fun. And it actually has a really compelling story. But Kid Icarus, one, as a platformer for the NES, one of the most frustrating platformer games ever. I played it for the first time on the Wii. I do think I have the cartridge for NES now. It's such a hard game, that first one. But a lot of those NES games were. And then, handheld games, I feel like, when they're exclusively handheld, get knocked down a tier
mm-hmm.
for me, just to begin with. Because the technology on the DS games, while it was great for what it was, I'm always going to prefer the more powerful consoles. For me, this is a D-tier game.
Yeah.
Franchise as well. I think it has a lot of potential, but they just haven't done anything with it to warrant more than a D.
Exactly. And it brought some innovation to it, but kind of stopping at that one DS game just kind of limits its viability.
Yep.
Next up, we have our little pink boy, the hero of Super Smash Ooh. Brothers, some might say, and one that is probably my favorite N64 game, I think hands down, and one of my favorite GameCube games in, obviously, Kirby 64, and then Kirby Air Ride, taking this innovation over to this, like, weird star racing, like, Mario Kart-esque, Mario Kart-adjacent gameplay that changed up a lot of things with it. I really enjoy it. However, Kirby does have some stinkers. in the middle, in my opinion. And they're again, you're right. They're on that kind of resurgence of the NES, Super NES games with the new Kirby that came out. It is very reminiscent, actually, of the N64 one.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby. I think it's a B tier. I think there are some great titles with it. He is a pink hero. And some great games, but in my opinion, I think it's an A B teeter. I think I can go. Okay. I think I can swing.
Okay. I was gonna say for me, Kirby is a little bit more in that A tier category.
Okay.
I do agree with you. I think that there have been some stinkers in there, but Kirby has also had just a ton of releases, especially when you compare it to other characters of his caliber. He's not the Mario. He's not the main cast guy. But he kind of is. And Kirby, I'm a little biased, I'll be honest, because Kirby's Adventure was my very first video game that was just truly mine ever for the NES. So I've been playing Kirby since I was a wee lad and have always loved Kirby, have always really just enjoyed the adventure style of gameplay. I think it does a lot of really cool things for being as simple as it is. But at the end of the day, it is a game that was specifically designed for children.
Yeah.
And so it really limits what you're able to do. I played the Kirby All-Stars, the newer one, so easy. Just so, so easy that it's so clear that it's made for children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that knocks it down a peg for me. So it still sits firmly in that A tier, I think.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll bump it because I was an A, B teeter. But if you're going A, I'm going A with Kirby.
All right. A, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next up, this is one that I think kind of came out of left field for a lot of people. Luigi's Mansion. So Luigi, secondary character to Mario, obviously the lesser Mario brother, unless you were a little sibling, in which case probably the superior Mario brother. Luigi's Mansion gave this whole new personality to Luigi and really, I think, gave depth to characters for the first time within the Nintendo series, honestly. You see him as a protagonist and as more than just the sidekick brother that is kind of there and can do some of the things that Mario does, just not quite as well. For me, Luigi's Mansion as a franchise is probably in the B tier.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It's really cool. It just sort of does what it does. I think they've done 3 games at this point now.
Mm-hmm.
Third one, a lot of fun on the Switch. Have played it a ton. But it just kind of is what it is, and once you do it, you've kind of played it.
Yeah, it definitely brought innovation, brought depth to Luigi, and is a fun game. But yeah, I don't know if it tops more than B. So we are now on our Mario string. All right, we got our doctor out of the way. This is just maybe a little collegiate level, depending on where we're landing, but no doctorate here. First up is Mario and Luigi. Now, this is a handheld exclusive series that follows on the Mario RPG that was on the Super Nintendo. In this, you play as both Mario and Luigi, playing through RPG-esque elements that are in that turn-based kind of combat in some of them. And overall, I thoroughly enjoyed. I think it did more of the Nintendo feel than Golden Sun did, and a little different than Paper Mario in that realm. So I would probably put Mario and Luigi at that B tier. I think it took what Golden Sun did, gave it more of that Nintendo flair, and created actually pretty good stories within the brothers arc.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Mario needed a little bit more exploration in that sort of style of gameplay. Paper Mario, I think, reigns supreme in that category, at least the original one. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I agree with a B tier for that.
Perfect.
Next up, all-time classic. I'm just going to go ahead and say it before I even say it. S tier game for me. Great, great party game that's been around for a long time. But a racing game in Mario Kart added, I think, just... I don't know, like a cool, fun thing to racing games that I just hadn't really seen before, where you got the little projectiles and things. It's a little battle within a racing game. It's not just about speed and knowing the course. It's also a little bit of luck, a little bit of fun. It adds a lot of things that I think have become classic elements in all the Mario titles. And every single Mario Kart game that comes out, smash hit, everyone wants to play it. We've been on the same Mario Kart game now since, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, basically.
Yep.
They're still adding to it now.
Yeah, they started back up again.
But if there was a new, brand new Mario Kart game that came out tomorrow, I know that people would be all over it. So S tier.
I'd agree. The next one wants that S letter as well. It craves it. It tried. And there were three, almost four good ones in a row that would have claimed that S tier. Then they decided, what if we ruin this franchise for about 10 years?
Yeah.
And we try these innovations that no one wanted. Everyone has complained about each iteration, but we pushed it further. And that's Mario Party.
Yep.
Mario Party, to me, is a more accessible game than Mario Kart. Anyone can jump in and play it. You don't have to necessarily be good at this stuff. And the minigames all vary. And we had some very iconic ones that we see in 1, 2, 3, even 4 had a lot of these iconic ones.
5 was actually really good too. It was 6, I think, where it really took a dive.
It really did. 6, 7, 8. I mean, just all these ones in the middle just did not. They
giving
could
you
never
a microphone.
Yes, and they couldn't recover the original charm you got from those original ones. And now we obviously see, again, these re-releases of all these Nintendo games of like the Mario Party All-Stars that came out. But the thing is, yes, you get the recovery of a lot of these old levels, old minigames and whatnot. But then you have the Mario Party, the original IP of Mario Party that released before that one, that was naked. Very few
stripped
levels.
Down. Yeah.
Not much to do. And you kind of finished it in like one sitting. And so that's why I lower it to A. It's still a top tier game franchise, but there's enough in it that brings it down to an A.
It went from, I think this is a classic Nintendo mistake that they've made in a lot of games, where it goes from very skill-based to very random. And so like Mario Kart suffers from this a little bit as well, just not as much as Mario Party, where it's like, all right, someone got the blue shell at just the perfect time, so you just happen to not get the items that you needed, and you lose. Mm-hmm. You know, Mario Party, it's like you roll the dice, and you land on a space, and oh, hey, here's magically a star. They started adding in a lot of random elements to that game to where it feels like a lot of times things are out of your control. Whereas in those early Mario Party games, if you were the best mini-game player, you were getting a star for that. If you were the best, taking all the pathways to get the most coins, you were getting a star for that. You kept getting terrible things just by chance. You landed on the happening spaces. Hey, you're getting a star anyway. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate, you know, sort of like a makeup handicap at the end of the game. Then what they did in a lot of the newer ones was they changed up what that is. It's a random. I don't have All-Stars. I have the first one that they did on Switch, and it's like you don't necessarily know what the awards are going to be until afterwards. And so, sure, there's like that fun surprise element, but it really feels like no matter what you do, like you have to absolutely dominate to ensure a win, and that's not fun to me. So
no,
A-tier for sure.
Yeah, I think it's there.
S-tier game, we're going back to it. Super Mario. I mean, I don't really know how it can't be. Maybe you could argue repetitiveness, but Mario Odyssey, Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine,
Galaxy.
Super Mario Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are all S-tier classic games that sure do the classic Mario thing, but they do it all really, really well.
Yeah, I don't think there's much to go into with this. I mean, you have the capstone of Odyssey being one of the best Mario games of all time, in my opinion. Going back to original Super Mario Bros.
I think it's
Bros.
The best.
Yeah, really. I think it is. I Sunshine's up there. That has a special place in my heart. I don't think it's up there in the top three, in my, possibly between them, because you've got so much of the OG stuff, but it's definitely there.
I would say, yeah, Odyssey 64 Galaxy for me. Mm-hmm. Sunshine's probably 4. Sunshine's cool. Really beautiful game. Very colorful
and
bright and
fun. It changed up. And our arguments against a lot of these others is they tried innovation that was, it just didn't work. And then Nintendo's like, hey, but what if we use Mario on these crazy, wacky, different style games? But these innovations are amazing and have different like movement tech and different story and different ideas. And they all work really well.
And they borrow elements from each other as well, where like Super Mario 64, you can lose the hat. Well, now you can lose the hat, but the hat is like kind of alive in Odyssey. Mm-hmm. You know, Galaxy, there was like the little coin elements, but they're little like stars. And also you can have like a friend or a little sibling or whatever play along with you. I think that's really cool and inclusive. Sunshine is just, it gets really difficult sometimes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But not for the right reasons. For just camera angles,
yes.
Frustrating, yes, spammy yes. things. Just the yeah, it's difficult for bad reasons.
Yeah. And now wrapping our Mario block, Derek, I want this guy to be higher. I want this to be a better score, but I cannot give it.
I'm with you.
Paper Mario. If we had stopped at N64, that is one of the best Mario spinoff games I have ever played. The characters they have that play along with you all have very unique talents and very unique personalities. And it's the environments are so cool. The music's amazing. Then they decided...
It's got good humor.
The humor... It's all so good. And the secrets, they're all amazing. And then they decided, what if we just eliminate any fun, make it feel corporate? Now it's only stars helping you or shapes or these other things that don't need to happen. And I tried my best, Derek, to play them. I tried to play the other ones and I just could not get through it. But I'm still going to give it a B tier. I'm still going to put it at B. I think they're all still functioning. They all still work. Nothing came close to the charm and funness of the first one.
I think B is a very, very fair one. I don't know how they went so wrong with this series because they really nailed it with that first one. I think the only thing that even would knock down that first one is a lack of post-game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you kind of beat it, you're stuck in there. But yeah, man, I love those games so much. I do have Origami King, but it's in a pile of games that I need to play. Things that I've read have not been positive, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway.
Do it.
Next up, we have got a game that people, I think, have really wanted more of for a long time, and they weren't getting it until recently, and that is Metroid. This is a game that subverted expectations from the very beginning, by having a female protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, it put Nintendo in that FPS realm in the GameCube era, which is something that they really hadn't done, at least with like an iconic Nintendo character.
Yes.
And they, you know, made some really great games in that Metroid series, and people wanted more of that. And for whatever reason, they just were not giving it to anybody. Now, of course, they did another side-scrolling platformer, shooter, Metroid, and they re-released that trilogy as a Switch game very recently. And so they're, I think, getting back into that idea, and I'd love to see like a modern Metroid FPS from them. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think overall it's probably a B tier as well. But it could fit in that A tier.
I think it's the teeter. I think Dread brought it back. Dread treads that really good line between indie feel of a side scroller with that a lot of that difficulty built into it, but bringing that nostalgia back of some OG Metroid. I think it did so well to marry those together, and it is such a fun game that, again, harkens a lot back to some original Metroid, but again, gives it this modern indie feel in a way for this. I really enjoyed it. The FPSs for me, I didn't enjoy too much because the GameCube just was not conducive as a controller to be good with like an FPS kind of game with that. With a pro controller or just even like the Switch Joy-Cons, I think it allows just so much more to play through something like that. So in the future, it's fingers crossed.
B tier. We settle on B tier for that?
B tier, I think. It can teeter to A, but I think B is where it lands.
Okay.
Now, next up is a game I didn't play. I have seen gameplay of it through some speed runs. I have an idea. of what happens, but it is the Mother series that is, you know, where we get some PK fire happening and where we get like Ness and Lucas and these other ones that are in this Mother series that was more of a Japanese release for a while. We do get a lot in the US eventually in some of these mobile games. And by mobile, I mean like handheld, not mobile as mobile. But I have to put a did not play. I don't want to give it an unfair rating on it, but I didn't play through the Mother series. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, it's the same for me. This is one that's on my radar and was definitely, my interest was piqued after learning about Ness through Super Smash Brothers. But, you know, they made this a Japanese exclusive. It was not accessible for me for a long time. Now it's sort of come back, at least those original ones that are very highly regarded. You can play those through ROMs. If Nintendo, if you're listening, don't do that. But you can also get it through the Super Nintendo Classic, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's on there.
And so that's something that I need to go and do. I do have that. It's just, you know, once the time and the feeling has kind of passed, it's, you know, it's one of those things that's on the backlog that, sure, I want to get to it eventually. It looks fun. It just wasn't there for us in the U.S.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We're going to talk about one that I know that you've played a lot. I've dabbled in this game. Pikmin, which really this is another one that I think caught a lot of people by surprise. Just a really out there game for the GameCube that I did play when it originally came out. And it just never really vibed with me, you know, and it still doesn't. So it's kind of hard for me because I really didn't, I don't think, gave it a fair chance. It's been so long since I played it. I might as well put it in the did not play category or a D, but where does it rank for you?
I'm going to have to, it's really tough. I would go B. I think the innovations in it and even the mobile game, the Bloom that they came out with, Niantic did Bloom as well, along with Nintendo. And I think it is one of those games that, like you said, you either played it or you did not. It was accessible to all, and you maybe dabbled in the first one. It is an anxiety-inducing, fun, puzzle-ing, fighting-type game of, you know, raising these Pikmin, and it's cool how it advances. I think as a series, having the new Pikmin, very much like how Pokemon introduced new typings, you get new types of Pikmin that can resist certain elements or resist poison or are stronger, and you get different captains throughout it. It's a weird one. It reminds me a lot of other puzzle style games of needing like numbers or needing to break through to get to this idea, or like, I need this piece. I need to complete XYZ to get there. And it's almost like a Katamari Damacy or anything along those of like that cutesy look, but it's still kind of like dark elements to it. I personally would be in a B tier with it. I think it's odd enough that it only really has that niche audience.
Okay. I think that that's fair. When I really look at the list, so in C right now, Advance Wars, F-Zero, Golden Sun, A-Tier, Fire Emblem, Kirby, Mario Party, I think putting Pikmin there with Animal Crossing, Donkey Kong, Metroid, Luigi's Mansion makes sense.
It's all these ones in B for me, besides Metroid, and I guess Donkey Kong, are more of those spin-off ideas. Trying to get an idea of what's a little like fun element that might be there. And I think that's really where that B lives.
Yeah. And you know, I think it is really one of those games where it didn't jive with me. And I'm sure that there are other people where they think the same thing about Donkey Kong or Metroid or something like that.
Absolutely.
Now, the greatest selling franchise.
Yeah.
In the history of the world.
In a did not play. Let's go ahead and put it there. And Derek, move to the next one.
Played it so much. So much. But I'm not going to put it in an S tier. I'm going to put it in an A tier. Talking about Pokemon, of course. This is a game that started a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
that still exist today in different iterations. And maybe it deserves an S tier just based on that alone. But I think when I'm thinking about innovation, when I'm thinking about starting these new adventures, they've sort of watered down so many elements of what made these games fun for me early on that it's really hard for me to look at them the same way. I think about it a little bit in that Paper Mario effect, but yeah. I think it is a superior franchise, and that's why for me it's in that A tier.
I'd agree. I think it's one of those things where the innovations they put in, I think a lot of them were good. I think some of them kind of held it back. I think allowing Game Freak to stay on for a lot of these, I think they've kind of overstayed their welcome. You know, we did another thing is basically, are there too many Pokemon?
Yes.
You know, and even with that last release being just kind of like a glitchy mess upon release and like having this time, it's like maybe give them a couple years between each Pokemon game and not like 2 years for mainline with a 1 year in between for each random release, like, you know, Arceus, the redo of Pearl and Diamond. You know, it's there's a lot saturating the market with it, and not all of it's good.
Well, yeah, and they've got all those stadium games. You know, they've got Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. They've got like the Hey You Pikachus and the Pokemon Adventure and all kinds of like different games. Pokemon Snap. You know, yeah, there are just a ton of games that fit within this world, and it is a great world that they've built.
Yeah.
But there are just certain elements of those games that just, whether they make them too easy or too repetitive or something like that, that just kind of knock them down.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. Speaking of knockdowns, our next one's Punch-Out. It only lives in nostalgia land for me, and then we obviously had, was it a Wii game? Was that the Punch-Out game for Wii?
Yeah, there was a Wii Punch-Out.
I'm going to go D. I don't think they really did anything with this franchise. They tried. I think the original is cool. I think it was innovative for what it was. It's great. Then it coming on the Wii was just more of a cash grab on like, hey, the Wii nunchuck, you can kind of punch with these. And it's fine. It's there. It doesn't have the replayability value that these C-tier games do. So I cannot justify a C-tier for it.
Yeah, it feels like ARMS sort of replaced Punch-Out.
Yeah.
In that sense, the original Punch-Out on NES was really a lot of fun. It was about, you know, studying the patterns of the other opponent and sort of like trying to time things up correctly and hit those opponents in that way. And it was very classic video game in that sense. Just recognize patterns, have the muscle memory, and win that way. Beyond that, though, there's other boxing games that, like, you know, the Fight Night games do real boxing better. I think that arcade boxing games don't really have a place anymore like they did back then. And also the characters that they had in Punch-Out had a lot of tropes that I don't think would be as acceptable in 2023. Yeah. So I think that makes it a hard game to do anything really with. And yeah, I mean, if we're going to throw ARMS in D tier, I think Punch-Out belongs in there as well, for sure.
Absolutely.
Next up is another game that I did not play. This is Rhythm Heaven. So
I did not either.
This is a game that it's about tapping, I think, with the DS touchpad screen, if I remember correctly, if I understand that correctly.
Again, another Japanese game that we saw just like a random port on the DS originally. We got a 3DS version of it as well. Think of it almost like WarioWare in some of the stuff that you can do in it. So it is that very just like odd tapping to rhythm, trying to make things happen with it. It's definitely a cool kind of looking game. But yeah, it was never on my radar, and I was kind of done with handheld games by that point.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that there are other like tapping games that they've done better, and there's other rhythm and dance games that are better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and doing any kind of handheld, I mean, Guitar Hero tried that.
Yeah.
It's like a rhythm and music game, and it's just weird on the handheld.
It's just weird. So. It doesn't work. You got to be very specific. And I will say, we're going to talk about WarioWare in a bit, but they were able to do it. Everyone else, not so much.
I agree.
Next up, I don't think I want to say too much about it. I think it kind of speaks for itself for it, and that's Super Smash Bros. I'm going S tier just because for me, every iteration that came out improved upon the last. whether it's adding more characters, adding more levels, bringing back the levels that everyone loved, always retaining a lot of the items that carry over, updating trophies, updating new characters for it. Again, I'm not trying to discuss the minutiae of what characters are included, who should have been where, what characters are overpowered. It's just more so that we start off with this roster of, was it 16 originally? With all the unlocks?
That sounds right.
16 or 20, something like that, into like the mega amount we have today with crossover characters, all these crazy characters that we didn't think would fit that for some reason fit in these games. Like Solid Snake working makes no sense, but it works. And so I have to put that at S tier. The stories are fun. The competitions, the target practice, all these different iterations they had throughout it were just really fun.
Yeah, I agree. It's an S tier, no question. And they really did create this super premier fighting game that now it's like a badge of honor to have your character be a fighter in that game. I think that speaks for itself. Now, another one that I think probably caught some people by surprise, Splatoon, which is like a big multiplayer style game where instead of doing the traditional FPS shooter style game, you're painting on people with paint guns, and there's all different kinds of styles of play. Splatoon is definitely, I think, a niche game within that, but it's a very kid-friendly. The characters themselves I find to be a little goofy. It's hard for me to take them seriously as Nintendo characters in the same way I would look at a Mario or whatever, but I do think they have their place. This one is a B tier for me. I think that it is fun. It maybe teeters on that C, B tier, but I think B is pretty fun. I do know it has a pretty great following. I had a pretty good time with Splatoon 2. I haven't played Splatoon 3, but what about you?
I'll allow it. I'll allow it to be B. Like, I really did not like Splatoon at all, but that's my personal opinion. I think as a franchise, it's done well. I think it's continued on. It's kept people in. It's kept the question asking, are you a kid or a squid? I think the question's always up in that air. I look around at kids. I'm like, that might be a squid. So I think that
where,
B is
where
fine.
Where would you put it? Would you put it in C? D?
I'd go C. But again, that's my personal opinion. I think what you brought up is great, talking about the franchise, kid-friendly. It brought that FPS element, or I guess third-person element, I would say, third-person shooter element into this. And I'll give it B. I'll give it, it's a BC teeter for me.
Yeah, it's definitely like a, just a fun, you think about like a Gears of War, it's super bloody, third-person shooter style game, you know, and then you've got Splatoon where it's like a territory style game you could play, or you could play like the paint over people and things like that. I mean,
I'll allow it, because the next one I'm going to put a little lower, and that's the Star Fox series. I think a lot of the, and here's my controversial opinion. I like the GameCube one more than the others.
Wow. Which GameCube one? Because there
was
two.
The one where you explore on the planet a bunch and you have the purple fox girl, and it's like a dinosaur planet.
Well, she's in the second one too, I think. It's a Adventure and Assault.
Adventure I played. I never played Assault.
Assault is more like the original. It's more of like the wartime battling type of thing. It's like it's like you have these missions that you're going on. Sometimes you're on the ground and fighting. Sometimes you're in space and doing the on the rails kind of thing. Star Fox 64 is one of the best rail shooters ever.
Sure.
So much fun. They really just needed to keep making that game. This is one where they got a little too fancy, I think. And I agree. I think Adventure is fun. I think the hand-to-hand combat's pretty good.
I just think it. They never return to their roots, and that's why me. I'd put it in C tier. I think the OGs were good. I enjoyed the GameCube one, but then it just petered off after those, and we never really saw anything again. No more rail, and rail shooters are hard. Indie games can do it, but if you're a AAA studio trying to do Star Fox as a rail shooter again, it's better be a really small budget game, because it's not going to make that back. If you're talking about like a regular Nintendo budget game, it just won't make it.
Right. And then, you know, they did a re-release for that on the 3DS, or just the regular DS. Mm-hmm. And it's like that's a game that I think with updated graphics is a really successful game. And then, you know, they did Star Fox Zero, which I think tried to kind of do that, but the Wii U was already sort of a failing console. And then on top of that, like, there were elements to it that I believe you had to aim. I never owned a Wii U, but I believe you had to aim with that pad, which
made it weird
to port. I don't know.
Yeah, the Wii U, you know, the ugly stepchild that that paved the way for the Switch tech, unfortunately.
Well, and it's really tough too, because then you look at that game historically and how it performs on Wii U and think, there's no way I'm going to jump back into that franchise. Mm-hmm. But it's like, when it's on that console, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
Next up, the legendary Starfy. I know this by cover only. This was another handheld exclusive. Did not play. Won't play. Will barely acknowledge.
Yes, it's when we both looked this up, we're like, oh, I've seen that cover a bunch. I know this cover. I have never played this. I've never seen anyone play it. Again, a Japanese OG that made its way to the DS. And I never played it. Again, I think a lot of these that hit in these mobile, or not mobile, I keep saying mobile, but handheld, I just never played.
Yeah, if you are listening to this and you've played the legendary Starfy, you're a big fan, let us know what was great about it. Maybe we can bump it.
Yeah.
Where does it rank? If it's an S tier game, I'll hop on it, but I doubt it.
The next one is, again, another weird Nintendo experiment that plays on that like really kooky Japanese, really quick, fast-paced games of doing silliness. And that's WarioWare, where you have to pick the nose fastest in like 2 seconds to the next screen. And you have to light a firework and do these simple puzzles that are these like really fast-paced. I always picture it in that like Impossible Flash game that we played when we were kids, where you have to like click to the right real quick, drag the bomb, do this. It's just this really fast-paced, puzzly party game. I'm going to put it in C tier. It's fun. They're fun games. And the latest was a Switch release where you played with different characters that would have different powers that made certain mini games a little easier. And you could play through a vague story with them. In my opinion, vague, but a story with them. I'd have it C tier. It's a fun one. Like the other ones, they're fun. Do I really crave more of it? Not really. But when it comes out, it's more of a happy surprise.
Yeah, C tier I think is perfect for that, and I think it fits really well with Wario's personality in the more modern Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of like a goofy kind of loser kind of thing. He's similar to Bowser in that regard, where he's not like supposed to be a scary bad guy. So it makes sense. It's a lot of fun. He's kind of gross.
Yep.
Another one that I think hopped off of the Japanese style of gaming, Xenoblade Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one fits right into that JRPG style right away. The original Xenoblade Chronicles, I think it was pretty, actually relatively difficult to get your hands on.
Yes.
Released for the Wii. And I know it had a lot of content and it was a lot of fun and a cool story. Shulk is a cool protagonist. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and now 3. Have come out. I really dabbled in Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an exhausting game to play, though. I mean, you really, like, I feel like there's just so many things going on. You could be 20 hours into that game and really just be starting it.
Yep, that's a JRPG for you.
Yeah. I mean, that style of game is you really got to love it. You really got to be into it. I think it's a C tier. I don't think that there's anything particularly fantastic that series does better than other JRPGs, but I do think it does that well.
I'd agree. I think there's other JRPGs I prefer. Now, I have not really played a modern JRPG in a long time. I played a lot of the Tales series, Skies of Arcadia, a lot of those that were, I kind of capped on that GameCube era. So I've never really dabbled with Xenoblade. But I know, like you said, it's a lot of people have either raved about it, or it's just, even with 3, I've seen some reviews where it's like, it's fine. So I think C as a series is pretty good. Next up, it's a toss-up for me. Next up is Yoshi as a series. Now, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, is my favorite Yoshi game of all time. It is innovative. It's fun. It's beautiful. It's colorful. It was a shift from what Mario was doing at the time. And it worked in pastels and colors. You can get high by touching the little wobbly whizzy guys. And you don't touch Fuzzy. And there's the enemies in it were great. Then after that, Yoshi 64, not really a fan. I never played Yarn. I'll give it
Yoshi's
B.
Yoshi's Crafted World too, right?
Crafted World. I'll give it a B. I think it's still a series that continues on that's fun. It still has sales. It's a little below Kirby and that side character kind of doing their own thing, platformer. So I'd put it in B tier.
Yoshi's Story is a fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
All-time N64 classic. And I feel like it really fits well in that childlike style of game that Kirby does really well too. Last but certainly not least, this is another S tier for me. That should be obvious. The Legend of Zelda series. This is a game that has inspired countless games, still continues to be a top tier franchise. I would argue probably the best franchise for Nintendo, even more so than Super Mario. We're recording this on May 9th, so we're about to get Tears of the Kingdom out. This will release after that.
So this may drop to a D tier, depending on how that does.
Oh, I anticipate Tears of the Kingdom to be a phenomenal game.
Yes.
If we could do an S plus tier, I think Legend of Zelda belongs there. Just so many good classic games that have come out of this series. I don't know that they've really done a bad one, except maybe Zelda 2, way back then. But since then, I mean, they've all been fantastic.
Yeah, and we don't see a lot of spinoffs from Zelda. I mean, we have Hyrule Warriors. We have Link's Crossbow Training. We have a couple that definitely spin off from the niche look. Very much in like Wind Waker.
But cool art style though.
Yeah, cool art style. And it stayed pretty true to it. I never played the Wii U era of any of those. So unfortunately I missed out on like Twilight Princess and everything that was kind of in that middle. But yeah, playing again, it lines up with Odyssey with me when we are playing Breath of the Wild. Both of those take on the idea of their N64 counterparts and have just vastly improved upon them. And that's really hard to say because both Ocarina of Time / Majora's Mask and Mario 64 are some of the greatest games ever created. And for them to capitalize on that and to not just create that same game, but modern, but just they're able to capture nostalgia in a bottle and actually use it and not just spray it in your face in the crowd, but like actually blossom it into beautiful bubbles that go around you and encapsulate you and bring you back to childhood, as well as giving new players to play it.
Right. They did not do what Pokemon did. That's why Pokemon is not in the S tier, because they just 100% dove into the nostalgia and said, here you go, here's Charizard again. And here's the same thing over and over and over and over. Legend of Zelda was like, we know that people loved Ocarina of Time, but why did they love Ocarina of Time? It was this massive open world experience. It had cool combat, you know? Let's think about, you know, adding story and timeline elements to this whole thing. Yeah, it's a hero reborn over and over and over again in these different worlds. But on top of that, what is some depth that we can add to these characters? And to take Breath of the Wild and basically make it the sequel to Ocarina of Time, and then to make a sequel based on that, to have Skyward Sword where they're giving you the origin story, to do all these things where they're just basing it around what a lot of people consider to be the greatest game of all time, I think is really smart on their part. Excited for that release coming up here in a few days. But yeah, Legend of Zelda S plus tier. It's not on the list, but that's where I'd put it.
There's only one more I want to bring up. It's not in the list, and there's definitely a couple franchises that are definitely missing from here. These are kind of the core ones. The last one I want to put, I'm going to put this at A tier, is the sports franchise, I'll say. The Wii Sports, Resort, all of those, and even, or just the Mii, the Wii Mii era of like all these different games, I think leads to that A tier. I think Wii Sports, Sports Resort, S tier, 100%. The rest of them were middling and kind of where they were, and they were always the test of technology for that system, or the test of idea that what could happen. And I would say overall, that genre, I'm going to put all these kind of like where you could be like your me, that genre of game overall, I think it's an A tier. I think they did really well with console testing, with testing out new ideas or how controllers worked, and made it fun. It wasn't just some random game doing it. They actually were fun games.
Absolutely. I think that those games are great, and expanding on it in the various subsequent series. I haven't played the Switch one yet, but I'm sure it's great.
Mm-hmm.
The technology that they were able to implement, and then, you know, when they were able to develop the Wii Plus remotes and use those for Skyward Sword, and then make like better versions of the Wii Sports series where you could do the sword fighting and do like things that you really always wanted to be doing with those Wii remotes, I think was really great, and really showcased the Wii. I think for a lot of people, that was the sole reason that they bought a Wii. I mean, just to get that little bit of exercise that you got from Wii Sports. That's why it started being commonplace in nursing homes and schools and things, where people would just, you know, pick it up and play a little casual game of golf, you know, where they're not just sitting on their couch or whatever. So it definitely, I think, was a big part of the Wii system's success. And one other one that we didn't really talk about that I think maybe just belongs in that general sports category is like all of the Mario sports games. I don't really know where to place those. Like Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, Mario Baseball, Mario Soccer. Those games, I mean, probably in the B, A tier.
Yeah, I think they teeter depending on which title it is. You know, like Super Strikers. That was the first one, right? Mario Strikers. Very good. This latest version, not great. Baseball was fun. Mario Tennis had some ups and some real lows. So I think, yeah, like an A, B, depending on title, for sure.
For sure. For sure. So yeah. I like this list. We'll have to save this list and post it.
Yeah, so I've got this saved. So we're going to be releasing this on our Discord and socials for when this comes out, because we'd love, and the link to the specific tier list that we did, just to see what you guys did. And I'm thinking of, even if we don't do another episode per se built out on this, I'd love to just interact with you guys a lot more on tier lists, tier list Saturday or whatever you want to do. We'll put a tier list out, see what you guys think of different games, characters, consoles, whatever it is. I think it's just a fun discussion to have, to just kind of see where your allegiances lie and who is
absolutely
voted off. Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in and checking out our lists of tiers, and let us know what you think, and let us know what you guys think, what we did wrong, and where these did not plays go. If you guys played those, where do they rank on your rank?
Absolutely. It's been fun, guys. Looking forward to talking about it, and we'll see you later.
See ya.